thank you very much for joining me this evening. I am Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio. You can hear me by visiting darknessradio.com. And if you have a Droid device, go to the Google Play Store and get our free app right there. You can find it at Darkness Radio. That's the free app, and it'll give you access to our show, our archives, and all the cool stuff that we make there. And on iTunes, you can find us under Beyond the Darkness. Beyond the Darkness on iTunes. Subscribe and never miss another minute of the best in paranormal talk radio. It's always a pleasure sitting in. I thank George for allowing me this opportunity to be with you here tonight and tomorrow night. And for those of you that were asking, I'd mentioned last segment that I'll be doing some live events around the United States and around the world, including a trip to Romania. We have a handful of slots that are still open for that. And if you're interested in going and seeing some of the most haunted locations and being a part of these trips, email me, dave@darknessradio.com, or just check out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. We have full lines packed with your phone calls west of the Rockies. Joel in Long Beach, California, you're on the air.
Hello, Dave, and I want to say other than George, you're my favorite host.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Joel. What did you want to share with us tonight?
Well, real quickly, the person that was talking about the brain issues, and you mentioned something about, I don't know what the terminology was, but if you go to YouTube and type in brain frequencies, all those very expensive sound frequencies that shatter the negativity and the fear are recorded, and they're up on YouTube. There's a plethora of them. You can choose which one. So I just wanted to say that to help other people.
Oh, very cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, what I wanted to say was I've had a lot of experiences, and there's a moment when they say you die. When you die, after, you know, that you pass, you don't really have that memory. I think I skipped a step, but I have memories of what I consider dimension jumping and how it felt on my body. One particular night, I was coming out of North Hollywood, and I was driving down the freeway, and I was starting to doze off, and the road becomes the dream. In other words, you know, I'm looking at what a road that's not there. I'm on a road, but the road starts, you know, that weird intermediate place. And I remember that I was hurtling down the freeway. I was asleep by this point. I didn't know I was asleep, but I was. I was aware of a fake dream. And I heard my name called, I mean, clearly called, and I snapped awake, and I was heading at the back of a Mack truck at about 85, 90 miles an hour.
Yikes.
And the freeway was going at about 50, 55 at the time. And the next thing I felt was like a rubber band snapping through my body, like an air gun hits your full body, the way mm-hmm. that feels, and like a snap, and then I was okay. I was passing the truck. I had something swerved the car, I think. I don't know, but I found myself passing the truck on the left, and I was cognizant again. And that's what I mean about jumping. I don't know if I had died and then continued on in the multiverse. I couldn't tell you that, but I know what I felt, and I know what I heard, and I know that I didn't have time to actually react to the truck.
Let me ask you this. You've heard of the Mandela effect?
No.
Okay. Mandela effect. It's having these strange false memories, like remembering the Berenstain Bears, not the Berenstein Bears.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I'm familiar with, yeah, yeah.
Right, that whole phenomena. Have you had experiences like that where you remember things drastically different than they should be?
Well, not exactly. I have a really, really clear recall. I've spent years in discipline training in mind and arts and martial arts my entire life, actually, which is I've trained and I traveled around the world teaching with very famous people. I have now 57 years training. The stay reality based and focused is the essence of what I, you know, and facing fears subjugating my fear. So, no, I don't have that, but I do have, if you have a minute more, I do have direct experience, profoundly direct experience with what I think was an angel.
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear it.
And this, okay.
But real quickly, the reason I asked about having the Mandela effect is simply because some people that I've spoken to that have had this Mandela effect in their life, I've spoken to have had these near-death experiences, And I kind of do believe that maybe what happens is in that moment you did die and your consciousness leapt over to the next stage. It leapt over to this reality.
I agree, yes.
And I think that there could be something to that aspect. So that's why I was interested. But go ahead, your angel encounter, and then we need to take a break.
Well, the way I began my sojourn was a mystical experience entirely. But this one particular day, I was at the beach, Seal Beach. I don't know if you know Seal Beach, but if you're walking toward the ocean, there's a right side of the pier and a left side of the pier.
Right.
And as I passed, as I crossed the main street or the ocean street before the pier, I noticed a guy. Now, I don't know why that was. The remarkable thing of noticing this person was he was very ordinary. He was profoundly ordinary. There wasn't any reason to notice him. But I looked at him, and my eyes lingered. Anyway, I went down to the beach. And a little bit later, there was a massive argument on the north side of the pier, which would have been facing the ocean on the right. And I climbed up on the pier to see what was going on. And there was these guys arguing with the police. And I went down and I watched, and another police car showed up, and then another police car showed up, and the guys started getting almost violent, but a crowd began forming, like a riot crowd. It must have been about that point, 200 people. And I knew someone was going to get shot. So I climbed up on the pier, and I was looking over the railing, and I saw one of the officers reaching for his holster. And I don't know what possessed me, but I said, I just addressed the crowd, and I said, he's only trying to help you. You know, you don't want to do this. You don't want to engage in violence. This, you know, and I said, this or that will happen. I'm giving you the story kind of quickly. When I said that, the entire crowd looked at only me. It seemed like time stopped, but then I heard a voice in that violent crowd saying, get him, he's a narc. At which point, about six or seven, eight guys rushed the pier struts, and they climbed up. And as they were climbing over the railing to basically take me down, I was thinking about defending myself. And then I heard a voice in my head saying, be very still. Do not react. Be very still. So they surrounded me. And every time someone reached for me, if they touched me, they got a confused look in their face. And they just stepped back again. And it kept happening. So I turned around and I walked toward the beginning of the pier. And you know, they followed me, and then we got to the to an alley, you know, across the street from the pier. And right when I got to that alley, I thought, I wonder what would happen if they grabbed me. The instant I thought that, they grabbed me, and they started dragging me somewhere. At which point, I heard this voice in the crowd, for real, this man who I originally saw when I got there, that plain guy. He said, but brothers, he's only trying to help you. At which point, everyone looked at him, and then something in me said, walk away, and I was going to turn around. I said, do not look back. Do not turn around. So I walked up to the next street. I made a right turn. I made a turn back toward the beach, stopped in the middle of the street, and started trying to figure out what just happened, and I said, I better get home. So I went down to the parking lot, and they were looking for me. I heard him saying, where's that guy? Where's that guy? When they came up to where I would be when I was walking, they looked through me. It seemed as if no one saw me. I mean, I was starting my motorcycle. They were all over the place, right around me, and I just drove away, and it seemed like they didn't see me. But that guy that I saw originally, he had everything to do with what happened.
Very cool. Thank you for listening and giving us a call. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. We are back. This is Coast to Coast AM, east of the Rockies. Joe in Long Island, you're up.
Yeah, hi, Dave. One thing I was thinking about with this topic is the astronauts, say, Neil Armstrong on the moon. It's like, could he really enjoy the moment? Or could he say, is my ride back going to be good? And I think what the astronauts are doing at that time, so much could have gone wrong with the machinery, the itinerary, and the unknowns, that what they're doing is they're suspending their belief in what could go wrong. And I wonder what your take is on that. And my other question would be the show Fear Factor. I thought one of the things I'm watching that show, most of the things I would not do, And then the other thing was they got a lot of attractive girls that could get parts and, like, based on being attractive, like small parts at least, even if they weren't great actors. I'm like, why are they doing this? You know, I remember one where they had this makeshift thing where they had two girls jump off like about a 40-foot platform into the ocean. And I gave them credit for doing that. That was pretty, pretty rough.
Yeah, the fear factor just to me seemed more like gross out factor. After a while, they, you know, were getting past the idea of real fear and just what was the weirdest thing we could make people eat or, you know, do to them. So that was what was going on. And I apologize. I guess I'm not following the first part of the conversation, Joe.
In other words, like,
when you were talking about the astronauts,
right,
it seems like you'd
be almost terrified, you know, despite their training, despite, you know, maybe their expertise. I mean, you know, even trusting the spacecraft.
I'm sure there's got to be a level of that. Anytime. It's like the first time, you remember getting behind the wheel of the car for the first time without anybody else in that car. And when you're driving down the road and somebody, it's a two-lane highway and somebody comes over by your side, you are sure that it's going to veer into you and you've got that fear. I can only imagine that leaving the safety net of Earth and being in outer space and going to the moon and back, it's got to be wrought with some terror and everything. But again, you know, the excitement of doing it and being there and getting out there. And a lot of these guys were pilots and have been involved in other aspects that have pushed the limits, you know, and you meet people like that who it's more of a thrill than it is a fear factor when they do that. So, yeah, I'm sure you get on the moon and you look back and you think,
excitement versus fear, you know, what's that blend and how does that work?
Thank you. Thank you for listening and calling in tonight, Joe, and being a part of the show. And remember, we're talking about fear. What scares you? What's the scariest moment you've ever had? Or what are some of your all-time favorite moments from Coast to Coast AM under George or Art Bell? Let me know. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, Cornelius in Louisiana. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Super Dave Raiders, I call you there. Super Dave, this is Cornelius White. I'm in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Bullets, and Beans man. Telling everybody to get ready there, Super Dave.
Well, what's going on tonight, Cornelius? What did you want to share with me?
Yes, sir. I wanted to give you three little things. Art Bell, when I was a correctional officer stuff down there at Oakdale, where I had to ride at with the Cubans and stuff, and I came in 1990. All the inmates and the correctional officers, we always listened to old Art Bell. And so one day I accidentally gave him a last name. He said, look, I'm going to take you off the air. You can't use your last name. So he called me Wild Card White. So that was my little Art Bell moment. And I want to say one more thing, Dave. My scariest moment, like I said, I used to be a correctional officer, and I was a military police officer. And we all listen to you, cops, military police, security officers, and convicts and stuff all night long. Y'all keep us going and stuff. And it's just amazing what this show has done. But like I was saying, my scariest moment, I don't know how you can say it. They used the N-word where I worked at and stuff, and I got threatened and stuff, and a lot of bad things happened to me. But because of this show here, George, don't worry, you, Dave, y'all have helped me out a whole lot. But I ended up going to prison, so I even listened to you on both sides of the law. I was a correctional officer, like I said, military police. But it's something about this show, Coast to Coast AM, that really helps people and stuff. And I just want to say God bless you, Dave, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Cornelius. Thank you for making us part of your world. First-time caller, Kevin in Paradise, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Kevin. What's up?
Yeah. I've gone through a lot of things in my life. I can handle pretty much everything, dealt with a lot of things. But one thing that terrified me the most, and I'm afraid of, is fighting something you cannot see.
Right.
Being attacked by something you cannot see. I've had the paralysis. I know what that's like. And it has nothing on anything to do with something that can hold you down physically by your arms, by your feet. I was thrown through a two-story window, thrown downstairs. My brother was thrown downstairs. It's a fear I can't even explain. You can never relax. You don't know. You can't see it coming. You don't know when it's going to happen. When you're dealing with individuals or animals, you can see that threat. You can neutralize that threat. These things you can't.
What do you know? What caused it? What was attacking you? Well, do you have any idea?
I think what a lot of it caused it was everything was fine until we had a cousin stay with us, and it's basically a cautionary tale. It's what I'm trying to get out. He dabbled with Ouija boards.
Okay.
And it all started from there. And just going to give some, you know, a shout out to people that are considering using one of these things. And my experiences, don't mess with these things. These things can stick with you like glue. They don't go away. You can't, a lot of times you just can't move. They can come with you.
Were you ever able to rid yourself of this, or is this something that has followed you?
We were very fortunate that we were able to move from that, but we have individuals that they still have issues. My brother still has issues. A lot of his issues were a lot of anxiety. I still had anxiety. You could probably tell by me just talking about it. But when you hear voices and it's not coming from something you can see, and it sounds like a thousand men, you know, coming from under the house. And
right.
It's just a fear you can't. It's a fear you can't even explain. I've seen the movies, Exorcist and things like that, and it just hits home because, I mean, some of these things are very, very real, and they're very serious. And I see a lot of these groups go out and think it's funny to go to some of these things and experience it. And I can see why they're wanting to test those waters.
Right. Thank you for calling in, Kevin. And the one thing, though, I tell people when they do these things and investigate is a lot of it is in intention. If you go in a fearful state, that seems to be the people that draw negative or malevolent spirits. I've gone to thousands of, hundreds of locations and spent thousands of hours investigating paranormal claims, and I have yet to have a negative experience. I've had some shocking experiences, and things do not follow me home because that's just not part of what I allow to happen. And a lot of that is just setting the intention and making sure that, you know, my children, myself, everybody involved is safe. Here's a quick email. Hey, it was tuned in on my way home from work. You mentioned emailing or giving a call to give our scary story and what we think of spirits, etc. So two thoughts. My idea of what I think spirits are in my own experience. To describe what I think spirits are, I'll quote Jordan Peterson. You don't have thoughts. Thoughts have you. So basically, when you have a thought you agree with, it's not only that you thought you agree with it, but all the other thoughts that agree with the original one. More or less, that's my perspective of what a spirit is. Like if someone decides to be angry, that thought can manifest itself in many different types of actions. Those actions are a certain spirit, a certain train of thought, like how we can be possessed by a spirit of anger or malice in the heat of the moment. For my story, basically my only spooky story of the supernatural, only one I've ever had, and have never had anything similar to it since. A couple of years back, had a friend staying the night from out of town, let him sleep in my bed, and I slept on the couch. I woke up in the middle of the night, one of those times where you wake up, except your eyes are still closed. When I opened them, I saw a figure just past the ottoman where you rest your feet on the couch, about 3 to 4 feet tall, white face, greasy black hair, partially covering it like a previous caller. As soon as I saw it, my entire body was filled with dread and terror. I turned around the other way and closed my eyes. Then I heard what was like a whisper in my ear, except in my own thoughts. I saw you see me. Don't act like you didn't. Honestly, at that point, I was beyond terrified, and I just prayed until I went to sleep. All right. Thank you, Skylar, for sharing your stories. You guys can continue to email me your stories, dave@darknessradio.com. We've got another half an hour of the best in overnight talk radio and more of your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, if you live in and around the Arizona area and you'd like to meet George Norrie, you could do it Saturday, April 21st, tomorrow or today, depending on where you are. From 5 to 8 p.m., he's going to be at the Virginia G. Piper Theater in Scottsdale, Arizona, along with spirit traveler Sonia Grace and astronomer and master of all things space, Dr. Sky, will be on hand. And they're going to end the evening with a UFO roundtable featuring some of the most respected people in ufology. Dr. Lynn Kitai of the Phoenix Lights Incident, Melinda Leslie, Alien Experiences, Travis Walton, famed abductee from Fire in the Sky, and John D'Souza, the X-Man, will all be on hand. You get a chance to participate in a Q&A with each of the guests as well. Don't miss out. Tickets are going fast. There's only a handful still available. You can get online tickets at ScottsdalePerformingArts.org. ScottsdalePerformingArts.org. Go check it out for yourself and make sure you get a chance to see George and keep up with what George is doing by visiting coasttocoastam.com, clicking on George's name and the events tab. You'll be able to find out where he's going to be and when you can meet the master of the macabre, Mr. George Norrie. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We've got more of your calls lined up. We'll try to get through as many of them as we can right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Another night blowing right by. Holy cow, has it gone by fast. And I'll be back again tomorrow night for another 4 hours of fun. And we'll be talking about all kinds of spooky stuff. So make sure you tune in and check that out. The Enfield poltergeist case from two eyewitnesses of the case. A quick email came in here from Corey. He says, Dave, I recall Art in a conversation with Father Malachi Martin discussing his out-of-body experience with the father after a trip to Paris, France. Art described it as blissful and full of joy. Art said he didn't want to come back. Father Martin said he was blessed with a gift and to give thanks to God. I truly believe, Dave, that Art is in heaven. No doubt Father Martin was there to welcome Art. God bless him with a glimpse of his promise of the afterlife. And that comes from Corey. I agree, Corey. Great story. Great thoughts. Thank you very much for sharing that. Let's go. All right. Wild card line two, Annie in Alabama. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Annie. What did you want to share this evening?
Someone is doing something electronically to everything I've got. Only when I do a certain job, they are hacking my Wi-Fi, they're hacking my dial-up, they're hacking my text messages. And it's only when I do a certain thing, I have a painting for sale that's worth a lot of money, and somebody doesn't want me to sell it. And every time I start to log into my email or send a picture text or a multimedia message with a picture of it, there are prospective buyers and brokers who have been waiting a month for me to send them the pictures, and I've put in 4 80-hour weeks, and I work an 18-hour double shift every day photographing and putting these on my computer and attempting to upload, and I click 18 hours a day, a million times a week. I click and click and click. I cannot upload anything. I cannot email or send any pictures, and it's only when I attempt to have anything to do with selling this painting.
Well, maybe what you might want to do, and thanks for calling in, Annie, is have somebody else come in, third party, take a photograph of the painting for you, and then they could possibly post it, give them your login information to pass the information on. That might be the best end around. Thanks a lot for calling in, Annie. Let's go wildcard line one, Tom in the Bronx. You're on the show.
Yes, how are you?
I'm good, Tom.
I'd like to say this, that the dream I had one night was that I was in an automobile and I was driving down the highway, and all of a sudden the motor conked out, and I knew I had to get out of the car, but all of a sudden I started like almost freeze, and as I looked back and I was trying to get out of the car, the truck was bearing down on me very badly. And then I woke up to the start, and I realized what happened was I had Charlie Horse Charlie horses that hit my left leg and the right leg, and that's part of being frozen, you know, in place. Now, that was with a car going down the road, and that's why the Charlie horses brought that dream about, you might say.
All right. Interesting stuff, Tom. Thank you for calling in. Wild card line for Barry in Mississippi. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to let you know I certainly enjoy your show.
Thank you, Barry.
I believe, I wouldn't say that the house in which I live in is haunted, but there is an energy there. We've lived there for about 4 years, and about maybe a year after we were there, I started noticing things. It's almost like when you look into a room and you see a possible ripple effect or maybe a wave in the room, not necessarily a light. It's really strange, but it caught my attention, and I started paying more and more attention to it. Also, there are noises in the house that will get extremely loud, and for some time, I thought maybe my neighbor was playing his music real loud or he was working in the backyard or something. I would go outside, and outside the house, it was very quiet. Go back in the house, I could still hear the noise. And I didn't say anything to anybody else in the family. I have a teenage daughter, and I didn't want her to freak out to the point where she wouldn't stay in the house by herself. And one night, she and I were talking, and her boyfriend was there. And he asked her, he said, "Hey, did you tell your dad about what we heard in your house?" And I turned to her, and she said, "We think the house is haunted, Dad." And I said, "Well, I never explained to her what I hear and see." And I just asked her, "What do you mean?" And she said, "We were sitting here on the couch watching TV one night, and we have a room under our staircase, and it's where we keep our extra coats and extra blankets and stuff like that." She said, "We heard somebody in this room." And her boyfriend got up and walked to the door, and he said it was like somebody was trying to get out of that door. And I asked her, I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she said, "We left. We left the house. We locked up and left." And she said, "I believe our house is haunted." And I said, "Well, do you ever feel in danger?" And she said, "No, I never feel in danger. And neither do I. I have seen things and heard things, and I never feel in danger. And normally what I see is normally in the same spot in the house." One night I experienced it in a different part of the house. I was watching TV in my bedroom, and our family dog was laying at the foot of my bed. And at the same time I saw like a ripple or a wave in the scene outside my bedroom door, the dog started barking. So he saw it too, or experienced it too, or something. But I don't know if it's just an energy. I don't know what. But I'm like you. I don't let it get to the point where I'm in fear. I'm not going to go that way. I'm like,
right.
You know, whatever's there is there. And I had a neighbor that lives right next door to us. She's lived there for many years. And I've thought about questioning her if something had happened in the house that we didn't know about, but I don't want to draw attention to the house as well or have people think that, oh.
You know, there's a website you can check out called diedinhouse.com. Diedinhouse.com. And you'd be, you know, I think it's like $12 or something to do a report, but it'll give you information regarding everything from, I think, fires to was it a meth lab at one time to who died in that house. And that might give you some insight. The other, you know, with the onset of the internet, it's pretty amazing what you can find out. Just type in your address and the word death or died and see if anything pops up for you. That might be the best way to go, Barry. Thank you for listening and giving us a call tonight. Wildcard Line 3, Jeff in Santa Rosa, California. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a question about art. I know he was involved with time travel a lot and John Titor thing, and I was wondering if he ever actually got to meet John Titor or talk with him, and if he he or you know anything about him or, like, what happened to him or anything like that?
I don't think that there was ever any more contact. I mean, there was, you know, people that have made claims. There's John Teeter II that's out there on social media that's now trying to sell information, which is completely kind of flying in the face of what John Teeter, the original time traveler, did. And I don't know that Art ever heard another word from him or ever met him in person. And if he did, it might have been something that he had to keep close to the vest or never talk about for his own safety and for the safety of John Teeter.
Well, I heard about that guy, John Teeter, too, and the way he talks and his little pictures with the patch and stuff doesn't fit the profile,
right,
that is in the writings. I haven't actually.
Well, he admits he's not the original John Teeter.
I see. Okay.
But yeah, I'm not sure what his whole story is. We had him on our show, Darkness Radio, a number of years ago, and we ended up ending the call early because it just seemed like somebody just cashing in on what was once really a fascinating story. So we ended that. But thank you for calling in, Jeff, and being a part of the show tonight. West of the Rockies, Robert in Kingman, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hello, Dave. Thank you for taking my call.
Are you going to go see George? He's going to be right there in Arizona tomorrow night.
Well, I'm blind, and so it's kind of a problem for me. I would love to go, but
I bet you. I understand.
But anyway, my question was about teleportation. I was living out at our ranch, and my aunt's house and my parents' house were about a quarter mile apart, straight line. But you had to walk down the road, and the road wound around and went down through a big wash and up the other side. So I was down at my aunt's one morning, and she left, and I walked back home. And when I got to the edge of the wash, I started to take a step. And next thing I know, I'm about 150 or 200 yards farther down the road, finishing the step. And it startled me so much because it's broad daylight, I'm awake, everything is fine. I stopped, and I felt a chill go up my body. I tried to explain to myself that couldn't possibly have happened, what was going on. So by the time I walked up completely to the house, I kind of tried to, you know, how you tell yourself, well, that didn't happen, you try to explain it and so on. So I kind of put it out of my mind. So about 2 weeks later, same time of the day, just about the same thing happened, but I wasn't going up the road. I was going straight up the hill to the house, so in a straight line. And I started at the bottom of the wash, and next thing I knew, I was at the top of the hill. And I stopped, and I felt another chill go up my body, and I thought, this is getting ridiculous. What is going on here? And I just wondered if anybody else had experienced that out there, and what would teleportation be called?
Yeah, a porting and teleportation. I'm not sure. That is pretty fascinating. And that happened to you multiple times?
Yeah, twice. But it's never happened since then. And I try to be a logical person. I keep an open mind about things, and I couldn't figure out an explanation for it. I was wide awake. It was broad daylight. There was nothing spooky. It was more startling. And it was just like you take a step, and when you finish a step, you're 150, 200 yards farther down where you were
walking. Robert, one of the aspects of the paranormal I believe we're dealing with is time slip phenomena. And you might have just, at that moment, been the perfect traveler, and you just kept stepping through that same gateway, and it was putting you right back.
I have a very intelligent friend who's into a lot of this, and he says it's like the film skips in life.
Right.
We're experiencing all this, and all of a sudden there's a jump in the film. And it applies to several things like that when you start thinking about it. But I could never rationalize that in my mind, how that actually happened.
Interesting stuff. I don't know. That's fascinating. If anybody else did have that happen, give us a call and let us know. Thank you for listening and being a part of the show, Robert. East of the Rockies, Manuel in San Antonio, you're on the air.
Hello, David. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to ask the question to your first guest, Martin, about if she's ever come to San Antonio or if you have ever come to San Antonio and looked at any or investigated any of the sayings that we got here, like the Llorona, which is the crying lady, the donkey lady.
No, I've heard stories of her, but I've not investigated. I've been to the Alamo. I've been to the Menger Hotel. Right, that's the Menger is the one across the street.
Right, the Menger is the best one. Right, they got that real maid and that guy that was like a gunslinger or general or something like that.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to really kind of investigate. I was there spending the night at a conference. But I'd love to get back there. I've got some dear friends that are in that area in Texas, and we're trying to coordinate. But you won't catch me out there during the summer. What do you guys get, 282 degrees in the shade?
toes. Birdie toes. This might be a weird year because it's already April, and you're not going to believe it, but it's 55 degrees right now.
Yeah, well, we just, Minnesota, we had 4 or 5 days of 55 degrees, and then we got caught with another 14 to 16 inches of snow. So not this week it'll be 60 again. Who knows what's going on? Manuel, thank you for calling, being a part of the show. Wildcard Line 5, Michael in Jamestown, North Carolina. We just have 2 minutes left here. What did you want to share with us?
Okay. Hi, Dave. Well, real quick, first of all, thank you for taking my call. And I want to ask you, you know, and this relates into the topic of fear is, you know, why do you think people are so in love with, like, everything 1980s now? Is it because maybe people didn't feel as afraid back then, possibly?
Being a child of the 80s, I could tell you, I don't know. I'm totally into the culture, the music, the everything about it. But, you know, my parents who grew up in the 60s were all about the 60s, and that generation was all about that reminiscence. So I think it's just whatever kind of is endearing to you. And then, you know, the next generation grew up kind of hot on the heels of the 80s, so it kind of spilled over. And then the next generation is the children of the 80s generation, and they're still surrounded by it because that's what their parents do. So I think it's, you know, cause and effect. And in a few years, we'll probably see that pass again. And the 90s or the early 2000s will be all the rage.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, because right now it's like the 80s music, movies, TV shows. You've even got a couple current shows like The Goldbergs and The Americans that are very popular, and those are both set in the 80s. And, you know, I think maybe it's just because people just, you know, they were, you know, we were younger back then. We felt a more sense of security back then. There weren't certain issues that we have to deal with back then that we have to deal with now. And I mean, if you look at.
But with that said, we were worried about nuclear war. I mean, so, you know, there were the moments of fear and everything that surrounded that time frame as well. I don't know. It's easier to look back at those times with rose-colored glasses now, too, because we're in kind of a darker, weirder place in time and in history. So that may be a part of it. Hey, thank you very much for calling in and listening. Let's try to squeeze in one last call. First-time caller, James in Falls City, Washington. We have a minute and a half. What did you want to share?
Boy, I was actually looking for your opinion on something. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I believe I had a Close Encounters of the Third Kind about 30 years ago. I had a being come into my room in the middle of the night. I was wide awake and, you know, paralysis, and this thing materialized through my door and communicated with me for about 5 minutes and then left. And I'm still scratching my head trying to figure out a resource where I could try to get more information or you know.
You can contact your local MUFON chapter, MUFON, right, the MUFON Mutual UFO Network. There's probably people that could, yeah, you could probably talk to somebody about that. You know, go on. There's tons of sites now with people that believe that they've had that. I'm sure you can find people and coordinate with somebody that's actually experienced that.
When you're talking about the whole fear factor thing, that's got to be the the top in my book. You know, it's just amazing stuff. I didn't even, you know, I wasn't even interested in this stuff before it happened. And because of the event, I was like,
once you get woken up
or something. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. Thank you for calling in and being a part of our world tonight. I appreciate that. And I want to say a special thanks to my guest, Margie Kerr, who was with us in the first 2 hours. Thanks to my producer, Dan Galanti, Gina Salvati for answering the calls and getting it lined up, my engineer here in Minnesota, Tim Dennis, Chris Boros, Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, and a special thanks to Art Bell. Art, wherever you are, thank you for throwing open the doors to high strangeness and welcoming us all home to a place of entertainment, acceptance, and fun. You will be missed. I'll be back again with you tomorrow here on the best in overnight talk radio. Check out my website, darknessradio.com. And until then, be kind, love one another, and I'll see you again next time on Coast to Coast AM.